Welcome to Always on Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show. They ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. But we're actually not talking about Smallville this week. We're talking about Arrow, the Green Arrow show that ran from 2012 to 2020 on the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by hosts of Always on Arrow, Mr. Lance Laster.
What's up?
And Mr. Kev Chillis.
Hey, what's up?
So this is our Arrow special number one. We've decided this is going to be a tradition now, and we're doing these to really just have an excuse to talk about Arrow together, you know, all three of us. It's been a lot of fun rewatching it. I know a lot of listeners have been following my Twitter thread where I've been rewatching Arrow and commenting on it, tweeting about it. And, you know, the format of Always on Arrow is, you know, Lance and Kev, they don't go through every episode the way we do here on Always on Smallville. And they have themes and overarching characters and things like that are the topics of their episodes. So this will give us all a chance to talk together and also, you know, say a few words about episodes that just didn't get covered or got covered very, very briefly in their conversation. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The goal here is we're just going to go down the list of Arrow Season 1 episodes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mention a sentence or two about our thoughts. Some will just be like, yeah, like it'd be a consensus. And then a couple of them we might want to say a word or two on, especially ones that none of us have really talked about before.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of crossover audience, but for the uninitiated, Lance, why don't you explain the rating system that you and Kev do over on that podcast that you do called Always on the Air?
Oh, okay, sure. It's a 4-point scale going from best down to worst. So our best is a bullseye. Second best is off the mark because it's hitting the target, but it's not a bullseye. And then we have a miss when it just doesn't hit the target. And then we have you have failed the city.
So it's either bullseye or miss. There's nothing in between.
Off the mark.
Off the mark.
Off the mark. So a hit. The hit doesn't. You guys don't have a hit. It's either a bullseye or nothing.
Off the mark is a hit.
It's the Ricky Bobby logic of if you're not first, you're last, is what you're saying.
No, off the mark is it's off the mark. It's not a bullseye. It's still hitting the target.
But still, so it's a hit.
Yeah, it's a hit, but it's not a bullseye.
I'm saying I think there's a fifth level that you guys have missed here, but we'll carry on. Let us know in the comments, listeners.
Well, they could do it on their own Arrow podcast.
There it is. Yeah. See? There it is. Very good. So, hey, we got the list of season one episodes.
Yep.
We're just going to go down the list here, and then we'll go around the table, so to speak, here, and say if we would give that episode a bullseye.
Yes.
And off the mark, because apparently if you don't make a bullseye, you're off the mark.
Yes.
A miss or a fail this city. So that's the ranking scale here.
I'm not understanding.
Let's go down the list.
Yeah, no, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
You're talking to a trained marksman.
All right, episode one, pilot. You guys did a dedicated episode on the pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's really not much else to say about it.
Yeah.
You both gave it bullseyes.
Yes.
Right? Yes, we did.
Absolutely. It sets the tone for what early Arrow was and what they probably and likely hoped the show was going to be the entire duration of the show. They set the tone and they keep this tone for the most part for the entire first season, second season, and parts of the third.
Parts. Yeah, man. Same for me. Pilot episode. What else needs to be said? Amazing episode. Set the tone. Great season. So yeah, bullseye for me.
I'm also going to give it a bullseye. At the time I would not have. It's like Lance and Mitch on the podcast. We're like, what is this? Why is the Luther Mansion here? Things of that nature. Why are you not Justin Hartley? Right? Those are the thoughts going through my head. But in retrospect, yeah, it's a great pilot. It's a great episode. It's definitely a bullseye. So that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode two, Honor Thy Father. This is the one with Chyna White.
It's
kind of the main, I guess, claim to fame of this episode. Her first of many, many appearances. And I believe this is the episode where Oliver turns down being in charge of Queen and Consolidated, right? And he kind of botches that speech at the end because he's like, this is, hey, I'm Bruce Wayne at my birthday party. Mm-hmm. I'm not the Green Arrow. That's crazy. Look at me. I'm irresponsible. So I would also give this one a bullseye. Like, I mean, that's the thing about this show.
It's going to be a lot of bullseyes.
I told you.
Right?
Yeah.
But this establishes, okay, we're now in the world and here's China White and we're taking it from there.
Yeah, no, it's a bullseye for me. It almost wasn't because of the Batman Beginsness of it. Like, you know, there's applied sciences and there's
sciences building. That's what it's the applied sciences building.
Yeah. There's applied sciences and there's the whole, like, you know, drunken at the birthday party thing. But everything else about it is just so good that you can't I can't give it less than the bullseye.
Yeah, man. Bullseye for me too. Oliver is legally resurrected just to kind of bury himself back with his botching there. This is also the first episode where we hear the famous "You have failed the city." So it already gets a bullseye for me just because of that. And China White's in it. So, I mean, obviously, China White's awesome.
Anything for a friend.
Anything for a friend.
Anything for a friend.
So, yeah. No, bullseyes all around again, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
That's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay, episode 3, Lone Gunman. This is the first introduction of Deadshot.
Yes, the better one.
And Kurare.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, this is where Yao Fei really makes his first appearance too in the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He showed up at the end tag of the last episode, shooting Oliver through the
correct
arm, which I had said at the time, and I think on the podcast, like, had that been a 2-hour premiere and that was the end, I'd be like, all right, bullseye at the time.
Yeah.
Because that's quite a way to end. But with Diggle too at the end, you know, where he's the bodyguard and he gets shot, and that puts on a whole new trajectory of everything. And I'm going to give this one a bullseye as well. I mean, you know, it's the it comes out the gate so strong.
It really does. And this is getting a bullseye for me on the strength of the fact that this is when I fully bought into the show. I was all in at first watch. Like, when we were watching this back in 2012, I was all in on Arrow after this episode, because as soon as at the very end, the end tag, when Diggle wakes up and he sees Oliver and Oliver's just like, hey, I was like, oh man,
they're going there.
This is awesome. Oh, it's on. So, and that's why it's getting a bullseye for me.
Yep. Same here too, guys. Sorry to disappoint. If you're looking for conflict, bullseye, introduces Deadshot, the better one. Diggle is shot and he gets to learn Oliver's secret. And that told me that my dad was going to be a mainstay on the show. Right. And for those of you don't know, yes, my father is John Diggle. Don't look it up. Don't look into it. Don't think about it. That is my dad.
And they didn't kill Deadshot. We thought they might have because he shot him in the eye.
Yeah.
But luckily he had that giant eyepiece, I guess, which helped the arrow not go through the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay, episode 4, An Innocent Man. This is an episode where it's the first, like, Laurel-centric one, where it's like, we're going to help Laurel with the case,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. You're like, oh, so this is how this show is going to be. He's going to follow his list, and Laurel's going to have a law case, and it's going to go, you know, that's the way you think it's going to be at the CNRI.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because she's going to be the Black Canary someday, as we all know.
Yeah.
So
they're destined to be together.
Yeah. I'm ready for the wedding.
So, but there's more intrigue going on here, honestly, with the what's left over from the previous episode with Diggle finding out the secret.
Yep.
And also the Queen's Gambit. You know, we see that here. And yes. So there's just so much going on. And this episode, by the end of it, you know, Oliver and Diggle, like, have, you know, the first, like, handshake, and they're going to be partners. And that establishes the original team era.
Yep.
Forward. So, bullseye for me.
It's a bullseye for me on the strength of the Oliver and Diggle stuff.
Yeah, no, bullseye, Oliver. I remember seeing Oliver talking to Laurel as the Hood, and he didn't have a dumb, gravelly voice, and that just saved everything for me. Also, is this not the first episode that we meet Felicity? Is this the laptop?
Felicity was Lone Gunman.
Lone Gunman.
Yeah, she had her one scene in the IT department.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, the laptop with bullet holes.
So okay. Like,
is it a coffee shop? My coffee shop is
in a bad
neighborhood.
Bad neighborhood.
But she continues in this one. You're right, because then Walter calls her in to investigate the Queen's Gambit situation,
and that's when she really kicks off.
Right. Yes, but no, yeah, bullseye for me too, man. I wonder if we have another 4 or 5 episodes before suddenly I turn on this.
I think so, because there's too much good stuff out the gate. That's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev.
Mm-hmm.
All right, episode 5, Damaged. The genius of this whole idea was, like, at the end of Innocent Man, you know, Oliver and Diggle, right, they become partners, and then, like, immediately Detective Lance busts in,
yep,
and arrests Oliver on suspicion of being the Green Arrow. And you're like, man, Oliver, how could you have been so sloppy? You're on cameras. But, like, I loved how he was like, well, of course people are going to think it's suspicious, so let's just attack this head on early on, establish legally I'm not the vigilante, and then we can move on, and we got our first instance of Diggle under the hood.
Yep.
Which happens, I thought this was the only instance this season, but it comes back around at the end of the season.
Yep.
Diggle looks good in green.
He does.
So,
spoilers. He's going to wear quite a bit. He's going to wear quite a bit.
But also, this is the one we get, I guess it's probably our most substantial island flashbacks, too. We get the most fake stroke.
Yes.
Yet, because he tortures Oliver, and we're like, oh man, Deathstroke is going to be on the island. This guy's badass.
Yeah.
And it wasn't him, because it's a CW show, and there must be two.
Must be two.
Mr. Billy Wintergreen.
Billy Wintergreen.
My partner.
He's the godfather of my son.
My partner, Billy Wintergreen.
But yeah, Damage gets a bullseye for me.
We're both ASI.
Australian intelligence.
Crikey.
I have no Australian accent to add to this. I'm so sorry. Oh man.
But no, that's Damage is it's a bullseye for me. There's just a whole lot going on, but also just the genius of the show to know that, like, yeah, this is going to be suspicious that this dude shows up and immediately this guy shows up. And I love how they address it. And this is the fun of superhero secret identities,
yeah,
right? And this is the fun that you can have with it. Like, and I like how the hero is smart enough to realize that it's going to be suspicious that, you know, both of these characters show up at the same time and they deal with it. Also, the whole lie detector scene with Lance and Oliver and Laurel there was great. And then the whole, of course, the reveal at the end, which is like, you were lying about the museum thing. And she's like, how else?
The prison.
The prison. And how do I know that you weren't lying about other things?
Bullseye for me as well. Oliver's arrested for murder. I like that Laurel became his defense attorney. He was like, I won't have anybody defend me except for Laurel. We get to see fake stroke, my favorite. And Oliver admits that he was tortured on the island. So no, it was a great episode. So yeah, yeah, bullseye for me as well.
And him and Laurel get a little bit of action.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. End game. So bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 6, Legacies. This episode introduces the Royal Flush Gang, one of which is played by Aunt Nell from Smallville.
Yes.
Aunt Nell was the mom. I guess she moved to Metropolis with Dean. It didn't work out, and they started a crime family. So then they moved to Starling City, started hitting banks. But yeah, the you guys mentioned this one in your episode on the season one villains with the Royal Flush Gang. Yeah, it's a bullseye for me, just because it, you know, they used a comic book, you know, quote unquote villain in that, you know, the Royal Flush Gang, as just to kind of tell a story about, you know, the legacies of the characters, because they've been doing something because of choices that Oliver's dad has made versus what he's doing. He tries to give him a second chance. Also, the first time that Oliver goes off book, right? Mm-hmm. Diggle, now that he's his partner, is encouraging him to, hey, there's other crime going on here, so you should, you know, try to stop that. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. This is getting the bullseye. The Royal Flush Gang, you know, the way they're very much Nolanized in this, which is fine, but they're not like they're not what makes this episode go. What makes this episode go is Oliver going off script and off book, literally, and Diggle kind of pushing him towards being a different type of person and kind of pushing him and helping him take that first steps towards being an actual hero.
Yeah, man. Same here. Bullseye as well. I mean, I went off on a Royal Flush Gang. They aren't exactly the most memorable villains of season one, but this episode is more memorable for Diggle, my father, for trying to get Oliver to become a hero. And Oliver's at first kind of like, I'm not a hero, I'm here to do this. And Diggle's like, no, bro, you're going to be a hero, you just don't know it yet. So yeah, no, it gets a bullseye for me as well.
And is this the one? This is the one where Moira keeps having like the brunch, but Oliver cancels on her, and there's that other guy.
Yeah, what
Bruce Wayne?
What was his name? Yeah, Bruce Wayne.
Little Bruce Wayne. The guy that plays Bruce Wayne's face anyway.
He's drunk.
Carter Bowen? Carter Wilson? Bowen? Or Carter Bowen.
Carter Bowen. I think. Yeah.
He cured cancer.
Yes, he did. Yeah. No, this was also the episode where Oliver's mom gets shot at, and he leaves her in the street chasing down the guy on a bike and nearly catches him. Yeah. And she's like, why did you leave me in the street? Which is the most realistic response to any of that.
Just trying to get a license plate. But yeah, again, these are the things that we enjoy about Superhero Secret Identities. Like, he's got to have a brunch with his mom, but he also has to stop a bank robbery. So he has to, you know, one has to go, right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, these are the conflicts where you can just say, hey, everyone, I got Green Arrow business to do.
Yeah.
I'll catch y'all later, right? The conflict is gone there. So that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay, episode 7 and 8, Muse of Fire and Vendetta. This is the Huntress two-parter. You guys covered this together on Always on the Arrow when you were covering the Huntress in your Huntress episode. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about and rate these together. Two parts of the same story.
These are bullseyes, 100%.
Couple of bangers these are.
Oh, yeah.
This is so good.
I agree. I give them both bullseyes. I mean, it's the first... And one of the rare episodes of the show until season 6 anyway, obviously, when there's no flashbacks. So they decided, like, look, this story is, there's so much going on here, we're not going to waste time with whose side is Yao Fei on this week nonsense.
Yeah.
We'll get into Yao Fei a little bit as we go. But man, you know, you say it once, you say it 100 times. The Huntress was such a great supporting character. And, you know, you're building the mythology of the show in the first season, so you think... Oh, well, she's going to be around forever. Like, it's great. She's going to be Catwoman to his Batman. This is what we want, right? Because they refused to give us a Batman show. I guess Green Arrow is my Batman now. Yeah. So, you know, I thought this is what we're doing. And she was great. Actress was great. Jessica DeGaal. And she, you know, came back 3 times this season, 1 time next season, and then never again.
Sadness.
So the only thing bad about The Huntress is she didn't come on as much as we would have liked. So
yeah, these two episodes, outstanding. Bullseye, obviously. This is also where we find the reveal, one of the best reveals in the show, that Malcolm Merlyn is Tommy's father. He cuts him off in these episodes.
Yeah.
And
This is the one episode that blew my mind.
Yeah. So we got that reveal, and then it's also
And Tommy and Laurel start dating.
Yes. Yep. And Diggle has this little friction with Helena, look like a T-Mobile girl, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
great quote.
And This is like one of like the best two episodes of season 1. This is really good.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 9, Year's End. You guys did an entire episode dedicated to this mid-season finale.
Bullseye.
Bullseye.
3 bangers in a row. Let's keep on going. It's a Christmas episode. Yeah. What else do we got to say?
Christmas episode, Dark Archer.
Finale. Yeah. It kicks off the whole like CW, this mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Like it kicks off that entire thing. It's a 100% amazing episode.
So good the Flash ripped it off for its season 1 mid-season finale. Let's do Christmas and then have a villain reveal.
Yep.
Which also blew everyone's mind just a couple episodes later from the other big reveal.
Malcolm Merlyn, man.
He's awesome.
He's so good. In the first season.
Yeah. Oliver gets his first loss. I mean, yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys did a whole episode about it, episode 4 of your podcast. So check it out. Some in-depth conversation about Year's End over there. So, bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right. Episode 10, Burned. We've been going through the first... half of the season, and you guys had mentioned a lot of this in conversation on the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. As we get into the second half of the season here, I think we can maybe have a little more back and forth about some of these episodes.
Yeah.
This one.
You guys threw a lot of shade at Burned.
Indeed.
I liked Burned. I understand. It's tough because, I mean, I'm going to give this one an off the mark, okay?
Okay.
It's not a bullseye. But I think it's good because it's a good follow-up to Year's End. You want a transitional episode back into the status quo. Firefly is like a low-level villain. It is unfortunate he got Chris Nolanized.
Yeah.
That's a verb now we're going to use.
Yeah.
Because, he was a firefighter who got burned. Like, he's supposed to have like a flying suit and a flamethrower yes. and stuff, right? But hey, this is Joanna's last episode.
Sadly.
Yeah. Until the finale.
Spoilers. Season 2.
Joanna's in an episode of season 2?
Sure is.
Whoa. I just blew my mind. I can't. I haven't rewatched season 2 yet. So, amazing. So, I you know.
This is pre before she goes off to Chicago Med.
Yeah. Side note.
And fire, sorry.
I'm sure you guys realize this, but I want to bring it up. Why does every main character on the show have a black sidekick?
Diversity? Yeah.
I mean, it's like Oliver has Diggle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laurel has Joanna. Yes. Okay. Detective Lance has his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Also, he's not a sidekick, but Moira and Walter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A person of color assistant character. I don't know what yes. to call it, but
yep.
anyway.
Now, and also, and notice, you know, Thea didn't have any black friends, so that's that sucks.
That's nice.
We talked about this in an episode at some point. Everybody apparently just needs a good-looking black person around in their yes. life. So I guess this is just what it is.
A handsome black man is very important to have at your side.
Yeah. I mean, you know this.
I do. So me and Kev are such good friends. But I bring that up now because I like when it was a big deal, like Joanna was leaving. I'm like, yeah. wait a minute. Her Diggle, if you will,
yes.
right, mm-hmm. leaves. And this is the only episode that's where she's has anything more to do than just be the person Laurel talks to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because her brother
yes.
dies in one of the Firefly incidents. Yeah. And, you know, then she leaves.
So, yeah, and ironically, she goes to Chicago Fire. There you go.
So you guys hate this episode, apparently.
Lance, you go first.
I'm going to give this episode a miss. The villain is a You Have Failed This City, because mm-hmm. he's just so bad. He's like, he's probably the worst villain of season one. And
oh,
it no. just,
well, we're getting
it there. It just really drags the rest of it down. I love yeah. the whole, like, Oliver, you know, not being confident going back out to be the hood guy. Do that at this point because he just got his, you know, he's just recovered after getting his ass beat by Malcolm Merlyn the previous episode. So I get that. All that stuff was good. But like, you know, the other parts of the episode was a little boring. And then the villain was just drags the rest of it down. So in my opinion, it's a miss.
Yeah.
And this is like the first thing that comes after, you know, a winter break. This is the yeah. first episode after the hiatus and after the highs of the mid-season finale. You want to start off a little bit of footing, I would think. And so part of it was working, but everything else just dragged it down for me.
Yeah, no, miss for me, simply because, kind of as Lance just put it, we just went through three bangers, right? We just had Muse of Fire, Vendetta, and Year's End. And then I had to sit home and wait for weeks because I didn't know what a mid-season finale was. And then we come back and I see this like lame duck of an episode. Yeah, it had touching family moments and stuff like that. But dude, like, I mean, at the peak of the show for me at the time, it was I wanted to see Oliver Queen fight bad guys. And this bad guy was lame. And he was very Nolanized, which I didn't know was a thing. I am learning is a thing. And now I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. So, yeah, no, it's a miss. There are worse episodes in Burn, so I'm saving those episodes for okay. the You Have Failed This. We got some coming in the future, so no, this is just, this is just a miss.
Yeah, so as many bullseyes as we're having at the top end of the show,
oh, man.
There's going to be a whole mess of misses and You Have Failed This cities in the future. So don't worry, everything will balance out.
Okay, so Burn is the first episode where we're not in like complete alignment.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But that's 10 episodes in. That says yeah. something, right? Yeah. So that's an off the mark from me, a miss from Lance, and a miss from Kev. Okay, episode 11, Trust But Verify. I don't know. I'm going to hear what you guys say about this one first. This has Diggle's old boss, which is, I guess, is this like the first Diggle episode?
This is like a Diggle-heavy episode with his old Afghanistan buddies.
Right. The guy from Farscape
yeah.
is his old boss. So I want to hear what you guys think about this.
For me, it's an off the mark because while it's good, it's not the same level as everything else. This is kind of like if I hate to say the word nosedive because there's nothing that's really a nosedive here. But like you have like the first, you know, nine episodes are like cruising along at this really high level, high clip. And then you have a somewhat dud that we just talked about. And then this one is coming up from, is a step up from that. So it's not like, all, oh, we're back. It's just, eh, it's better than what we got, you know, the previous week for sure. I appreciated the Diggle episode, but we get better Diggle episodes later on than this one.
I'm dead on what Lance said. It's a Diggle heavy episode. I like Diggle. They have old Afghanistan guys. I have a couple old Afghanistan guys. Diggle points a gun at Oliver in this episode. Yes. But yeah, I mean, other than that, like, that's all I remember it for. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one where Diggle has to choose between Oliver and his Afghanistan buddies.
And it's an episode where Diggle's wrong for a change. Usually he's right, like 95% of the time. So I think if he was always right, it would get annoying. But they have me wrong just enough where it's like, okay, he's human too. But we all know that Diggle is, you know, if I have to choose between what Oliver thinks or Diggle thinks, everybody needs to choose what Diggle thinks.
Yeah, I'm going with the actual combat vet. I'm
sorry. Right. Yeah. Oh, I guess this is the first one that really turns up the heat on Diggle and Carly, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Violation of bro code if I've ever seen it.
Oh, but my God. It can't be any worse than Flash, so we're good. No,
that's literal. That's an off the mark from me. An off the mark from Lance, and an off the mark from Kev. All right, episode 12, Vertigo. Man, I hate Count Vertigo in this episode, which is such a shame because I like Seth Gable.
Yeah.
Like him on Fringe. Failed this city? No, that's strong. You know, for the episode as a whole, because there's more going on. There's more going on here. Like, they introduce McKenna, Oliver's old friend who he starts dating in the second half of the season. So, you know, Thea's troubles with Vertigo are good too. But, like, I don't know why they thought making Count Vertigo like this was a good idea. It's because everything's Nolanized, right? There's no, what country is he from, Lance, in the comics? Arcovia or some made
something
up,
like, yeah, some made up country,
right? Like, if Vertigo didn't show up till season 3 or 4, he would have been the comic book Count Vertigo, right?
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, let's like street level Vertigo, and he's like Heath Ledger's Joker, and it's a bad move. So it's definitely going to be a miss for me. Which this is by far the worst episode of the season. But fortunately, I feel like they learned from their mistakes here, mm-hmm. and when he comes back again this season, much much better episode. But that's my take on it.
No, I agree with that sentiment. It's a miss for me as well, just because, the episode's called Vertigo, right? And so...
to a place called Vertigo!
So any Green Arrow fan worth their salt, like, knows what that implies and what that means. And so when you get this new... like, I get the creativity behind making Vertigo a drug thing that induces that type of thing, right? Or in some ways, that's what they're implying. But... everything else about it is just kind of lame. and that's what makes it a miss.
Well, I like what Kev said in your episode. And you're like, hey, look at me, I'm crazy. You can't do that.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're like, I'm the Green Arrow.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm.
I knew the Joker, and you, sir, are no Joker. No,
correct.
Right? Anyway. Yeah, no, McKenna is the only saving grace. Literally,
yeah.
Around this time, there were no shortage of people doing Heath Ledger impersonations on the internet mm-hmm. everywhere, and they were all bad. And this one just reminded me of that. I already went into this in an episode, so I don't want to like repeat myself. But yeah, no, this I got like secondhand embarrassment watching this episode.
Yeah,
it was really bad, and it's so bad that I barely remember anything else about the episode. Literally, my note just said, "Did Chris Nolan do this one?" Like that's all I have. That's all I have for my notes. Yeah, it's a miss. Yeah, no, it's a miss.
All right, that's a miss from me, a miss from Lance, and a miss from Kev. Okay, episode 13, Betrayal. Diggle spies on Mora against Oliver's wishes. Like, that's a big deal right there.
Yes, it is.
You know, and you get Diggle and Oliver coming into conflict, but it's not contrived. It makes perfect sense.
This is the Adam episode, right? Adam from Heroes.
Is it?
Yeah, because they kidnapped Laurel.
Oh, you're right. Very good. Adam Monroe from Heroes. he was one of my favorite one-off villains. I wish they would have brought him back. He was smart.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's like, how many arrows does he have in his quiver? And that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And Detective Lance is cold-blooded and uses the phone that the Laurel has from the arrow to capture him and stuff like that. So anyway, all that's going on. And then, did Slade get introduced in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah, this is when at the end of the episode he drops down and all mm-hmm. that. And so this is the real Slade, not the fake Strode. So, see, that's the thing, right? So much goes on in every episode of Arrow.
Yes.
Right? It's hard to keep track, and two timelines as well. So to me, this is a bullseye. It's a great episode. So.
Oh, yeah, we're back on track. This is a bullseye. Because also, this is the introduction of an MVP candidate in Slade Wilson.
Yes. No, yeah, man. Enter Slade Wilson. That's the great thing about this show, because even if there's bad parts, there's still good parts in the show to balance it out. And with the two different storylines, like, very rarely do both of them suck. That's coming. Not now. But this is also a bullseye, man. Slade Wilson was introduced. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Not fake stroke. The real one.
And hey, this is one of the best cliffhangers. I mean, there's a lot of great cliffhangers on that show, but
when he goes up against Moira,
he's like, I'm gonna go talk to my mom. It's like, Moira Queen, you have failed this city. Like, oh my god, like, and this show, it goes there quickly.
Yes,
like, if this was Smallville, that would be the season finale.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, let's be honest about
after
it.
Talking about it for 15 episodes.
Yeah, this is the 13th episode. Like, I don't know. We gotta stop Lex and his clones. I don't know. Let's get to that at some point. We got a Valentine's Day dance we got to get to first, though. You know, anyway.
Pete has to do like eight movie plots first. Pete.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, oh no, we got Fast and the Furious and Flatliners next before we can get to the A plot.
Oh, Pete.
So anyway,
shout out to Pete, the black, person of color friend,
the original person of color psychic. Again, Smallville did it first. So, that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 14, The Odyssey.
Bullseye.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
Bullseye.
Bullseye. Yeah.
This is the beginning of a very special group for us.
Yeah.
This is the OTA.
Because it picks up immediately after that cliffhanger, and then like the very next thing we see is Oliver's in Felicity's car, and then at that point it's like, all right, cool, this is gonna be great, and it was great.
Yep.
Well, it's interesting because Felicity was always on this different track than the rest of them, because she was more connected to Walter, and then they would go and ask her for advice, and she'd get more and more suspicious.
Yes,
which was fun, but they don't push it any further. Like, all right, we've gone. This girl is smart.
Well, yeah, because like in the Vertigo episode, like Diggle was just like, "We got to work on your excuses," and he's like, "I know,
I'm well aware."
Because I like how he's like Diggle like gets so frustrated with how bad the excuses are. He literally turns and walks away.
There was a sport drink and that kind of thing. So now this is the first episode that's real flashback heavy.
Yes,
yeah,
and we get a lot of character development for Oliver here in this episode on the island, because Slade trains him to take the L strip. And the thing about this is Yao Fei has gone back and forth yet again.
Man.
So again, let's say this now. This is a flashback heavy episode. Let's take a moment.
Okay.
Yao Fei, what a disappointment.
Oh yeah.
We used to think he was so cool. Like, oh man, sure Yao did. Fei, man, he trained him. No, as we established,
he did not.
He teach anything. Like, clearly when they started the show, they were like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Deathstroke will be on the island. Right. At some point, Oliver will kill him and put his mask up there. Right. We don't know when. Right. We'll just use a stuntman for now. Eventually, we'll cast a guy. But that's Deathstroke. Yao Fei is like Green Arrow 1.0. He'll trade him. Like, he's going to teach him everything he needs to know about surviving and archery. Right. And at some point, they're like, forget that. Yao Fei is going to go back and forth. Let's introduce a daughter for him. And here's a different Deathstroke.
Yeah.
I think clearly, if you look at the show, because when he's telling Diggle, I learned that from a man called Yao Fei, as you guys point out.
I was like, no, you didn't.
That's a lie. I loved it when you guys called that out on the show.
It's lame.
Because it's like, come on, man.
This is why Yao Fei was my nominee for the LVP.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is now called
the Black Guy
in the Cable.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
For the season's least valuable player.
Oh, man. But Slade trains him, and they get an opportunity to get off the island, right? Yeah. Get on a plane, and Oliver's like, you know what? I've been kind of a jerk my whole life. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to go back and save Yao Fei. I would have died without him. And Slade's like, all right, kid, I'm not going to help you with him. And he goes back to save Yao Fei, And Yao Fei just punches him out, turns him over to Fires, being the flip-flopper that Yao Fei is.
Yeah.
You know? Slade, you know, has a heart of gold after all, does the Han Solo, comes and saves Oliver. They both miss the plane. They're stuck on the island.
Yeah.
A great episode, because Oliver proves his own worth. You guys talk about, you know, you have a whole episode on flashbacks.
Yeah, we do.
So you go into depth on all this stuff. But this is the most, I mean, this was primarily flashbacks.
Yeah. Yes.
It was probably like 65, 70% flashbacks.
Agreed, yeah.
And I believe every other episode is the opposite. Mm-hmm. The show's not half and half. You think, oh, it's half on the island? No.
Nope.
It's like sometimes there's like less than 5 minutes of flashbacks on these islands. Because some, as you can tell, as we're going through these, we're blown over some of them. Like, I don't know. Yao Fei chokes him out at some point, throws him over a cliff. I don't know when that happened.
Yep.
You know, like, he's so flip-floppy that could happen twice.
He does have our favorite quote of the the season, though.
We did, that was way back in the cave days
on
the island where Oliver's sitting there looking at the picture.
A laurel, yeah.
You look stare at that picture every day. With the line of the season.
Yep.
Because, as we know, they're meant to be together.
Yes.
Like, come on. You got to stay the course.
Yep.
You know? Like, it's just, you had flashbacks. But he's like, I'm going to get home and make things right with Laurel. And by the time you get around to him, he's like, I don't know if Felicity wants to stay married to me or not. In season 5. I'm like, what? What is this?
Oh, my God.
Anyway. We're getting way off course.
That's on brand for this podcast. That's on brand for Arrow.
But the Odyssey's great. Felicity's a great addition to the team. Rewatching it, I fell back in love with Felicity Smoke, and I understand why we all loved her so much.
Yep.
And it's gonna be tough to see where that character in this series goes with her as we go, because she's perfect in these early seasons.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, since we're about to say a character that I love in the next episode, I might as well go ahead and point out for Felicity, she does end up nuking the town. I have to say that at least once an episode. So. No. This episode, bullseye for me, man. Oliver is shot by his mom. We talked about the neck injury in the podcast, how I thought that was really cool. The airstrip scene, it's very much like I felt like I was playing like a Nintendo 64 James Bond game where you're sniping dudes as your person goes around. The fact that Oliver has to remember that story from the Odyssey was really cool. And no, it was just a great episode. It got me on another high and got me ready for this next episode.
So, that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay, episode 15, Dodger. Not only do we have Battlestar Galactica and James Cowles, we have Rimka Sharma.
My Trek crush.
And she's in Star Trek Discovery.
I have a picture with her. We look good together in that picture.
So, she has one scene in this. I assume it was like, hey, James, you know, like, you want to call a friend and you can do a scene with them?
Yep.
Like, I guess that's what happened, because she's in one scene and they meet. But anyway, you guys, you really hate on the Dodger. I thought this was a great episode.
I think it's just me that hates the Dodger.
Dude is slick, man. He has a little stun gun. And he shot that guy in the head. It's hardcore. But we get Felicity in the field, you know?
No, see, the episode was good. The Dodger, the villain, is kind of lame.
We have the introduction of Roy Harper, everyone.
No. Yes.
Huge.
Yeah. No. This.
And Mr. Lau!
Yeah.
Mr. Lau shows
very
up!
Very good with calculations. No, so this is what I wrote for Dodger, okay? This is my sentence that I wrote for this episode, okay? Lore-heavy DC supervillain Dodger comes to Starling City, but everyone just remembers the dress. James Bond episode.
that dress
really that the, that episode's fine because of the dress. Dodger was cheesy. I don't know, he was just cheesy.
So what do we give it? I'm giving this a bullseye. What are you guys giving this?
I'm giving it a bullseye also. He was not the best part of the episode. Like, we have like Mr. Lau, we have the first time that Team Arrow goes, like, you know, does a mission together. They're in the field when they do it, and then Roy Harper is introduced and he's all like Abercrombie beautiful looking, like, you know, it's great.
Don't believe every sob story you hear.
Exactly. Yeah. No, again, like,
so
that was,
does he live with
nice
his mom
twist.
Or not? I'm good. Can you guys answer this question?
He lives by himself,
as far as we know. Also, my favorite part of this episode is when Felicity comes up in a dress and Diggle and Oliver look at each other like, what? Yeah, that's the best part.
Yep.
That's the best part.
They share a respectful moment of recognition and move on.
Yeah, exactly. They don't dwell on it. They're just like, oh, dang. And then they just
but you know what? They're not interested right now because they got their own dates to attend to.
They do.
Oliver started dating McKenna. And Diggle is dating his sister-in-law.
Ooh, yep.
Come on, Dad.
And he, what an epic fail of a first date.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, she's going in for the kiss. He's like, oh, man, I remember when my brother went on his first date with you. What? Diggle.
Bro, you are too smooth for
you
that.
You should know
you
better.
Tell someone wrote that line for him. He's too smooth for that.
Absolutely.
John Diggle would never say that.
Yeah. Now, Carly might be used to like a cheesy line like that because she has been on several Hallmark Channel specials. But yeah, John Diggle would not be that. No. He would not fail like that.
John Diggle failed this city with that line.
Yes, he did.
Regardless of that, this is a Bullseye episode. Bullseye from me. Bullseye from Lance. Bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 16, Dead to Rights. This is my favorite episode of the season. Bullseye.
Yeah.
Right off the top.
Okay.
So much is going on here. I mean, you have the Undertaking crew. You know, Mr. Lau and Moira have hired, you know, China White to kill Malcolm. They proceed to hire Deadshot. It's kind of like Attack of the Clones. You got bounty hunters hiring bounty hunters. It's very confusing. But why didn't you just shoot Padme through the window? Why'd you hire someone to drop off some bugs and a droid? The point is, all these guest stars are converting. It really feels like the universe is paying off here because we have established characters coming back. So much stuff with Tommy and his dad. The birthday party that gets ruined. Like everything comes together here. The superhero action and the human drama is just perfectly melded together. And then Tommy finding out the secret, huge game changer.
That's the best, part of this episode. And that's what, like, everything else you mentioned was good, but that's what really elevates this and makes it a bullseye. Because, like, when this show started and when I was on the first watch, I was like, there's no way he's going to know this until the season finale.
No.
Right? And he's going to, you know, and he's going to find out in a way where he's going to get mad and he's going to become the real Merlin Dark Archer.
Yes. Bullseye, man. Tommy learning the secret is great. Oliver struggling with McKenna and being the hood guy. You know, Malcolm Merlin getting shot. You know, all those things. I mean, just watching the scene of Tommy yelling, "Why should he trust him?" and Oliver taking his hood off. Well, after he hit his little chest button to change his voice back, and you know, take his hood off and shows that sick grease paint on his face. It's one of the best episodes of the season.
You know, you mentioned the voice changer. That's something like Smallville did it with the Green Arrow, and I think that's why they waited a few episodes. It wasn't until he started talking to Laurel that he was like, all right, you got to use the voice changer.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, again, that's smart on them and smart on Oliver for knowing she's going to know my voice. Yeah.
So, bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 17, The Huntress Returns. Another episode y'all covered in your Huntress episode. Another bullseye.
Anytime Jessica Giles on the screen, it's a bullseye.
Yeah, it is, right?
And Steve Aoki is canon, so, you know.
We get the long-awaited, long-hyped opening And yeah, and so we have also, you know, McKenna and Oliver's relationship gets consummated and then comes to an end, unfortunately. Because... hell hath no fury like a huntress scorned, and she...
You are going to kill me, as she says.
Maybe that's why she tries to kill his girlfriend, because she... I mean, I don't know, she's got a point. He was about to kill her.
I loved her reaction to it, too. Like, it seems so like, are you serious? Like, she's like, you were going to kill me. No, she's...
Check your privilege, huntress. So, I just... Like Diggle, this is the one where he's like, I think you would put an arrow in a law into her a long time ago. She's like, more like me, unless I'm a T-Mobile girl.
Yep.
So, who was the T-Mobile girl then? Was it like a cartoon?
No, it was a beautiful-looking brunette with a motorcycle. That's what they're referencing.
Oh, that's okay. Because
like the action hero, yeah.
Because that's the AT&T girl now. And on This Is Us, she hooked up with Justin Hartley's character.
Oh, Lily.
Lily.
Hashtag it's all connected. But anyway.
Lily Adams.
Yeah, she's in season one of This Is Us.
She is.
So, anyway.
But now she's back, and you can put googly eyes on your stuff, as she says in the commercials.
So good. Oh, but also, I had to laugh at this episode because they clearly didn't get the actor that played, and there was no reason to, but they didn't get the actor who played Frank Bertinelli back, so they just have some extra, like, in an orange jumpsuit just running around. And he does come back in her final episode, so it works out. And also, we can't let this episode pass without... I did not realize this subplot lasted multiple episodes. The picture of Sarah.
Yes, this is the beginning of that stuff, right? Yeah.
So... That's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 18, Salvation. This is a pretty by-the-numbers episode. It's like someone is also inspired by Oliver's vigilanteism, but takes it too far.
Right? Yeah.
But it's a big episode for Roy because Green Arrow saves him.
Mm-hmm. He becomes inspired.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've struggled between Bullseye and Off the Mark on this one because it was kind of there. The bar is so high on Arrow. That's the problem. Yeah. So what do you guys think about this one first before we give it a final rating?
I think it's an off the mark.
Yeah.
Just because, like, again, like, as you just said, the bar is so high, but like, we're again, like, you have to think about like what's around it. Like, we're just coming off of a Huntress episode, right? And so, and this, and especially when you kind of go back to being like kind of paint by numbers, and it's, and the episode kind of slows a little bit with the whole Sarah stuff, especially considering that they didn't necessarily know what they wanted to do with that. And that kind of makes it and drags it down a little bit. So it's a off the mark for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going same off the mark. This is probably the episode I least remember in season one. I just don't remember many things happen. I think the villain's name is the Savior. He calls himself the Savior, and like,
oh yeah, you know,
that's about all I remember about the episode. I think Malcolm, this is the episode I think where Malcolm tells Moira to try to find out who tried to kill him, and so, you know, that put her in a tight spot, but like, yeah.
Awkward spot.
Oh yeah, this Mr. Lau dies in one of these episodes because Moira just sells him out. Mm-hmm. So. Which is, it's okay, as we find out Mr. Lau sold out Robert. Yes. So I guess she didn't even know that.
He didn't calculate that, did he?
No! Hello there. So, you guys know what I'm talking about. Yep. So, you can see it. You can see it, can't you? So, just another word on Sarah. Like, this is one of my favorite things about her. And I'm looking forward to you guys talk about Sarah or the recasting. Whenever you guys talk about it in your format. I just...
Oh, Sarah Lance will have an episode.
I have to laugh that...
Starling City Rockets hat. If any of you see that, like, let me know where that is because I want that hat.
And they really... Once they introduced the hat, they got Diggle wearing it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, me and my dad used to go to the Rockets game. Like, they're really leaning into the Starling City Rockets after that point.
They're mixing their canon, man, because we got Obama, we got the Giants and the Steelers, and now we got the Starling City Rockets, man. They're mixing stuff up.
Well, the Starling City... If Starling City is Seattle... They don't have a team because they're the Supersonics, which are now the Thunder.
They just got, like, you know, as of this recording, expansion, they just got a hockey team.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an insult. Sorry, you can't have an NBA team, but here's a hockey team.
the hockey diehards are going to come out there now, man.
Hockey. Look, we don't have a hockey team here in Houston, I know? All right, if there was a hockey team here, I'm sure I would be interested. I just grew up without it. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing about Sarah is clearly... very clear made by this episode or this plot subplot's existence.
Yes.
Played by Alex Kingston, I believe, from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Good her casting.
Their mom, yeah.
Dinah Lance, yes. The original Dinah Lance, I guess.
I guess so.
Their middle names are their mom's first name, I guess. And anyway, very clear here that, all right, Sarah is dead. All right. We're using this storyline to examine how the Lances, how that family just couldn't cope with it and how they tore them all apart, right? And they go out of the way to say, this is a picture, looks like Sarah. Then bring on another person who looks like the original Sarah actress. I'm like, oh my God, you look just like my daughter. I thought you were someone else.
Yep.
And they double down on that and then close the book.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, we're done with that now. Now that's done. Oliver and Laurel can move on to the next stage relationship.
No,
that's
they
part
can't.
Of it, right? And they do. We'll get there. But I get why there was, I mean, at the time we didn't really like Laurel that much. You know, in retrospect, yes. I think she's great. But they panicked, and now he calls the deaths of three others. No, I don't know why my mind went to Dark Knight Rises. But they pulled the DCEU, and they're like, well, change everything. Oh, change it.
They did.
And it's just like, what? You had, I don't understand why you just couldn't have her come Black Canary at some point. You didn't have to introduce a fully formed Black Canary and Sarah Lance, who everyone would immediately love and become one of the most popular characters on the show, to the point where she is now the lead character, arguably, on a spinoff show, right?
Yes.
And that screws up anything with Laurel. And,
yes.
And I don't know, like, it's so odd to me that it's so clear that she was supposed to be dead and she wasn't. And again, by the way, Diggle has a dead brother who was supposed to be dead as well, and he
comes
back.
That's correct.
Anyway, that's my rant for now on that. I just want to get that out of my system. So
Sarah and her presence on the show is both an incredible positive and also a negative. But we'll talk about that when we talk about Sarah.
Yeah, I'm just saving it. I'm saving it.
Okay. But yeah, Salvation, get that off the mark from me. an off the mark from Lance, and an off the mark from Kev. Okay, episode 19, Unfinished Business. The quote-unquote return of Count Vertigo, but really, is it? Now, they did kind of borrow a plot from a Batman Beyond episode called The Winning Edge, I think it is.
Okay.
And it's about Venom in Gotham City in the future.
Venom,
not gonna know what hit him. And there's Venom on the streets of Gotham City in 2050 or whatever.
Yeah.
and like, oh, it must be Bane, right? So Terry McGinnis tracks down Bane. He's an old guy in a nursing home, basically. But one of the doctors has taken the Venom from his bloodstream,
yes,
and is using it, et cetera, et cetera. And they did the same thing here with Count Vertigo. But because Count Vertigo is such a minor part in this episode, it makes his return much better. They've clearly learned from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I give this one a bullseye because they took something that didn't work and then made it work. And to me, that's very impressive. And bullseye for me.
It's a bullseye for me as well. And isn't this the episode with this is Tommy and Oliver having the conversation and Tommy quits Verdant, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So their whole, like, the deterioration of their friendship, so good. Like, their argument and, like, and Tommy stepping up and, like, being angry Tommy was very impressive to see.
Self-respect,
yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah, because, like, I had no idea that, you know, again, you see this character at the beginning, you have no idea that he could be this way at all. And, like, the fact that, like, he goes down into the lair and sets it up to where, like, Oliver can't be outed as the Hood,
yeah,
you know, when Lance shows up like there, like he totally saves Oliver's ass. And
he's the real MVP.
He really is the real MVP of that. So Tommy's participation in this episode, great. And then he goes to his father asking for a job, right?
Yeah.
Like right afterwards. And Malcolm being so proud, he's like, all right, like, I got
here's,
it.
Well, it's Lionel Lex.
Here's his super villain origins. Yeah.
You already know exactly. Uh-huh. Like, well, here's how it's gonna go. We've all seen this.
Yep.
So boring show. Why would you do that? Oh, no. No, they didn't.
No, yep. I agree, man. Count Vertigo wasn't like my reason for liking this episode. It's the lady dying of Verdant and Tommy being a real one and covering for Oliver. Even after he took all the insults from Detective Lance, who throughout his entire season is just awful to everybody he doesn't like.
Yes.
He is so awful to them. But yeah, no, Tommy took all that. And then at the end of it, Oliver's like, thanks, bro. Appreciate it. He's like, yeah, but I quit. And that it's where Tommy was like, okay. That's when Tommy started becoming the character that I hated in the first episode, to being like, dude, this dude is like I'm coming around on this guy. And then Laura ruins his life. Yeah, there I said it.
It's hard to argue that.
So, yeah, no. You guys do bullseyes on this one? Because this is a bullseye for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
bullseye for sure. So, and then, yeah, you mentioned Tommy and Oliver, you know, Diglett Oliver, too. Has some conflict, which comes in a real head. In the next episode,
yes,
that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay, episode 20, Home Invasion. Lila had been introduced in one scene,
yeah,
in Unfinished Business as like some kind of government contact for Diggle.
Yeah.
Like she calls him Johnny and there's some familiarity there, but you're like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you pay no attention to it.
Yeah.
And then she's back in the next episode and she works for Argus, which is a big organization in the comics. And he's using, you know, all these organizations at his disposal to look for Deadshot because he wants revenge that he killed his brother. Because he thought Oliver had killed him.
Yeah.
You know? And then when he came back, that's the subplot for Diggle. You know, Lila is kind of the Felicity Smoke for Diggle.
Yes.
Right? Because there's another love interest this season. This person is just there in a scene.
Well, Diggle's pulling double duty because she is Lila's, you know, good-looking black man friend.
<That's>... Plenty of Diggle to go around. So, yeah, man, like that's a huge thing here because with Home Invasion, right? And this has always been a thing between, you know, Diggle's always bringing this up to Oliver. You know, Laurel's your blind spot, man.
Yeah.
Like, your family and Laurel, like, you have to, you're not objective during this, right? Mm-hmm. So Diggle had set this whole thing up to capture Deadshot, and Oliver's supposed to be there.
Yes.
But, you know, Laurel needed him.
Yep.
So he left Diggle out to dry, And I did like how, you know, Deadshot here is like, the only reason I'm not pulling this trigger is because nobody paid me to. Like, yep. He could have killed Diggle, but he chose not to. So, and again, the universe building, right? Argus, Deadshot, this whole world going on here. So, yeah, I'm going to give this one a bullseye as well. Plus, we have J. August Richards as
yes.
Mr. Blank.
Uh-huh. What happened to you on the island?
You're about to find out. So I love this one.
No, it's a good episode. It's a good episode. It's a bullseye for me.
Just so I'm clear. This is which guy is this? You know why?
Good Burger
this is
guy.
Good Burger guy.
Yeah.
This is
This is not DL from Drumline.
Mondo Burger dude. Yes.
Yes.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes. Yeah, no, this episode's good because of Mondo Burger, dude, not the guy from Drumline. I am so sorry. We don't all look alike. he fights inside his house. That's kind of cool. And the tension with Tommy is just like too high at this point.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Tommy.
Yeah, because he was like the safest place in the city.
Because Oliver and Laurel they're destined to be together.
Yeah.
Can't weigh that.
Yeah, it's going to drive him into insanity and becoming an evil supervillain. I can't wait in a couple episodes where he dons the hood and he's like, I'm going to kill you, Oliver Queen. It's going to be so good.
Oh, man, that's right. Oliver's he's going to think he's fighting Malcolm Merlyn, and it's like, oh, he's fighting Tommy Merlyn.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
This show's so great.
So good. So anyway, bullseyes all around on that one. Oh, and Tommy breaks up with Laurel here, so that's huge.
Yeah.
Which sets things in motion for the last three episodes.
Oh, boy.
That's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, episode 21, The Undertaking. I'm going to give this one a bullseye, too.
Felicity's red dress alone makes this a bullseye.
Yeah, she has some fun faux pas lines in this one, too.
She does.
Out in the field.
But I also like how she's like, I'm going to stop talking now. I was like, that would be my preference.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how you do that. You don't like have them fall madly in love with each other.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like this fun flirtation and maybe they go there at some point.
It's James Bond and Moneypenny.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, I think at some point, like, hey, even Clark and Chloe had a little time together on Smallville.
Yeah, right? And Bond and Moneypenny did too. Oh,
well, that was a VR thing and Die Another Day. But anyway, switching up the flashbacks on this one to show... this is the first time they've been switched up.
Yeah.
Right? Notice we haven't really been talking about the flashbacks in the second half of the season because it's like, they go back and forth and Oliver trains some and Shadow trains some. You guys have a whole episode about it. I think it was great.
Yeah. Oliver smacks some water in a bowl.
Some water becomes an excellent expert archer.
Yeah. Really exciting. Really exciting stuff.
Shadow is interested in Oliver first.
What is that about?
Let's just state this for the record. She likes Oliver.
Yes.
Right? Like from jump. She likes Oliver. Slade likes Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver's just like, oh, you like me? Cool.
Yeah.
Life lessons from Arrow.
Yeah.
But it's Shadow, hot take here. I wish she was never on the show. I just don't like it became a triangle with her and Slade.
You know my philosophy. If it's not a girl, two dudes are just talking out.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it ends up making a little bit more sense.
I haven't rewatched season two yet, so I look forward to seeing
it. I buy it more after. Yeah, I buy it more.
It's just so much of the status quo of the island changed in the last third. I remember loving the flashbacks more than anything, and then rewatching, I was like, I'm actually much more invested in the Starling City stuff on the last third of the season. Because it all felt very kind of repetitive. Oh, I'm going to train. Oh, here's Yao Fei. Oh, no, it's not Yao Fei. We're going to escape. Oh, he's going to get us.
We mentioned that in our episode. It's like, because there's...
Here's fires again. Black dude in a cave.
Black
we skipped over
cave.
That, honestly.
Oh.
Black dude in the cave. I'm glad you guys gave him the LVP because... Come on, bro.
That dude's a goat. He got the name. He got the award named after him. He's the goat. Yeah. He's the goat least valuable player of any show. He's the goat.
But that's the state of where the flashbacks are right now on Leon Yu. But we see the Undertaking, we see it's good to get some context for Robert Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See Walter
in
a flashback.
Yep.
Malcolm talking about stuff. Mr. Lau.
Mr. Lau.
We see how Mr. Lau sold out to sold out Robert. We see Abercrombie Oliver again.
We do.
Jerk pizza guy couldn't break 100. I mean, it's so good. We reinforce how him and Laurel are meant to be together. So
we do.
And then also he's on the phone with Sarah. It's like, why don't you drive around the block again? Your sister's here,
right?
So, and I guess, are we to interpret that he made this decision to go on this trip with Sarah as like a knee-jerk reaction to Laura wanting to like move in together.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to be what it was. He's like, oh God, we're getting too close. Let me sleep with you. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Also, is this Walter the hallway fight to save
yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's why this gets the bullseye. I mean, no, it we get to learn the why of the undertaking, which is cool. We get to understand, like, you know, we have that moment. And then he goes to Bloodhaven and he saves Walter in a scene that everyone tried to do for the next, still trying to do it.
Yeah, but they are.
Yeah.
I mean, Daredevil came the closest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Arrow.
Yeah. That's great.
That was an amazing fight scene where he takes out all those guys. And the scene that it reminded me most of later on was in the series finale, where they just have like beast mode Oliver just going through countless henchmen and all that. That was an amazing action. And that's what you came to the show for.
Yeah, it was an action movie every week.
Because you know, some weeks would be more extravagant than others, but every week you're going to get an amazing action scene one way or the other. I if it's just Oliver himself parkouring through buildings and stuff, or the Green Arrow kicking ass. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And great to see Walter again.
Yeah.
I miss Walter. I wish he'd been able to stay on the show longer, but
it's all good.
I say he got a pretty sweet gig after that. So
that's right, kneel before Walter, y'all. And also this episode has the classic moment where Laurel tells Oliver, "Tommy broke up with me." And it's that classic moment we've all been to where the girl's like, "Hey, me and my boyfriend broke up," and you're like, "All right, here's my chance."
Yep.
Game face. Put on the game face. So,
don't be too excited. Stay cool, ice cold.
Stay cool. Don't fall in the friend zone. Play the cards right. He can be the guy she's breaking up with next when she tells her next friend. If you play your cards right. Also, this is the one where Tommy tells her that you belong with Oliver.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's all right there, folks. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Interesting that the undertaking happens in the season finale, but they don't call it that.
Yeah.
They call the undertaking this episode. So, that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. Okay. Episode 22. Darkness on the Edge of Town. Really cool title. Again, on Smallville, we can't get cool titles like this. This is a bullseye for me. I mean, we're going full speed ahead to the season finale. The whole heist, like at Merlin Global is great. All the characters are there. Like Thea's there, shows up with Roy, and Malcolm escorts Oliver down and Diggles. It's just like everyone is there. It's so good.
Let's get real. The main reason why this episode is a bullseye.
There it is. I was going to leave that to y'all.
Imagine Dragons, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm epic. I feel it in my bones enough to make my systems blow.
Hey,
welcome to the new age.
Just close your blinds. Just close your... It takes a quick swipe of the hand. Your blinds are closed. The whole city doesn't get a free show.
Radioactive. Well, it was a spur-of-the-moment decision. You know,
Yeah. Yeah, because they're always spur of the moment decisions like that. They're always like that.
When this first aired, when we first saw this, we were like delirious about it as we are like currently, because I had no idea that this was going to happen.
I wasn't paying attention to what time it was either, so I thought it was like, oh, it's a Smallville ending in the episode. Here comes a song like da 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 da, right?
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, and they're gonna kiss or something, and that's gonna be oh no, this is adult TV. This is not high school anymore.
Yeah, and just like the song choice is so perfect, like, because it really like makes the moment memorable. Like, I'm all like, as you know, and listeners out there know, I am all about appropriate and perfect song choices for perfect moments, and this is it. Like, it, this is so good.
Yeah, the Imagine
any Dragons. Other song would have ruined it.
The Imagine Dragons moment. So yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Tommy. Laurel ruined that man's life.
I mean, can you imagine being that guy? Like, I'm going to go to... Oh.
No, man. I mean, no, seriously. Like, I mentioned in the pod, like, over the course of, like, 6 months, this dude went from, like having this girl to his best friend coming back from the dead to him being dead. All that happened in a few months.
But it was a roller coaster of 6 months, though.
Yeah.
All her fault.
He also got beat up by the Huntress.
He did.
And his dad in the next episode, but I mean, talk about other than the cliffhanger of Oliver about to shoot Morrow, the cliffhanger here where Oliver confronts Malcolm. Oliver and Malcolm, it's amazing.
Yeah.
For one season. But anyway, he confronts him, and he's like, "We want to do the same thing. We want to clean up the city." He's like, "We'll start with you." And he shoots the arrow, and he just just grabs it.
And it's again, so badass. And I mentioned this on our pod, but like, I love how they use that as a device to show how skilled somebody is and how formidable they are. Because when we see it the first time, you're like, oh my God. Because I think that's the first time we've ever seen on like in media somebody do that.
Yeah,
because
Huntress, she like kind of sidestepped it. Right? Yeah. But Malcolm just stands there.
He just stands there. Kind of like how Billy Wintergreen did.
Yeah, Billy
Wintergreen. Oh, yeah. Went right in front of the eye.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, that's how Deathstroke loses his eye. That's a problem I have with season two. Let's continue.
Well, if you paid attention in season one, somebody does that to somebody else. So it's on brand. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But like, I love how they use like the catching of the an arrow in flight and stopping it right before it gets to you as a way to show how formidable somebody is.
Yeah.
It's a good show, don't tell type of way to do stuff. But yeah, this is a definite bullseye.
Yeah.
That's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. All right, here we go. Season finale, episode 23, Sacrifice.
Bullseye. It's an amazing episode.
I mean, you guys did an episode about it, Bullseye. You guys talked in depth about it. I mean, I love it. I think John Barrowman's the MVP of this one. It's a culmination of his plan. And you're like, I understand. Like, I disagree, but I understand the psychology of the guy.
Yeah,
right?
Too bad he dies, and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen him to come back for seasons to come and other shows. Maybe he could be pulling on. Who knows?
Really, just ruin himself if he just stayed.
The only character and actor this has ever worked with is John Glover and Lionel Luther, keeping the villain around like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did it on Heroes with Sylar. It's like you run these villains into the ground. Into the ground, I say. Because like he was amazing.
Yeah.
And okay, even in season, like when he showed up in season two, spoilers for a couple episodes,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, they're keeping you around, they're keeping well on the board. But then he becomes a main character for like three more years. I'm like, what?
Sure does.
No,
he's just still hanging around.
Yep.
They zigzag on us though, right? They kill Tommy, not him.
Yeah.
Like I thought, all these Diggle, I was like, oh god, he's gonna die because he's like, I'm gonna go with you, Oliver. I'm like, god, he's gonna die. I thought, oh no, Detective Lance is gonna die because he's like, his arc is over.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's accepted the hood. He's telling Laurel goodbye. He's next to the thing. I'm like, he's gonna Felicity. I don't know. She's not even a main cast member. There's no official photos of her. The cast, so she can die.
Yeah, clearly she doesn't have any staying power. Clearly.
You know, it's all going to collapse on her under the club. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, they can't kill Laurel off. They can't do that.
Can't kill the Black Canary.
Can't kill the Black Canary.
He's Oliver ends up with, right? But they killed Tommy. I was like, whoa, we're not doing the Green Goblin with Tommy.
Yeah.
I see. All right, so. And that's what it was going to be, you know? And we had all figured it out. We had all pegged in. They didn't do it. And it was such an emotional scene when Tommy dies, him and Oliver have that last moment together.
Yeah. And of course, like, and this, of course, juxtaposed with like his failure in real life, juxtaposed with the win 5 years earlier when he kills Fires with his first, like, you know, kill with an arrow.
After reprogramming a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Not,
well, no,
not
Shadow did that.
Yeah, Shadow did that.
Right.
To
right.
not shoot down Ferris Air.
Ferris Air. And I guess those were Amanda Waller's legs, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Fires was talking to some guy, and like, oh, crap, we can't do it. All right.
I had
have
no
Amanda
clue.
Waller's assistant come up to her and tell her. Oh, man. But that's to your point about the flashbacks. That's what I'm saying. Like, the flashbacks, they end, like, halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
I was like, because I'm thinking about season two where it's, like, just complete intercutting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they went the other way with this. And it was a great moment to see him kill Fires and use the arrow and all that. But I don't know, like I just felt the last third of the flashbacks were kind of a chore and kind of just to get through. Maybe it's because I was so invested in, you know, what's going on in Starling City. But the little snippets they showed, I'm like, all right guys, let's get to it. How many times is Yao Fei gonna like, no, don't hurt Shadow? Right? I'm like, okay, we get it. But damn, he got a brutal death.
He did.
Shot in the head.
Not as brutal as Black Dude in the Cave.
Black Dude in the Cave.
He got shanked several times.
Yes,
and shot and neck snapped.
And he deserved every bit of that. Oh. He deserved it all.
So, that's a bullseye from me, a bullseye from Lance, and a bullseye from Kev. I wasn't keeping track here, but I think we gave almost every episode a unanimous bullseye. Nothing was a fail this city.
No. There's only a couple misses.
A couple off the marks, and even those weren't really unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah.
What an incredibly strong first season. And I said it in 2013. I'll say it today.
We
Arrow is better than Smallville ever was. If you take this sample size.
Yeah.
All right?
I'll take Smallville season 4 over Arrow season 4 any day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's a game we could play. This is tough. This is tough now.
Yeah. Let's take your worst season of Smallville against the worst season of Arrow. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll play. When we do this recap, we'll do this, right?
Okay.
Arrow season 1 or Smallville season 1? I got to tell you guys, it breaks my heart because season 1 is my life for Smallville.
Yes,
like,
it
no
is.
Joke. I made my life into this. Somebody,
I was there.
Some by providence, some by choice. But, man, like, I have to go with Arrow season 1. I
do
can't,
too.
Yeah,
I can't sorry, deny the brilliance.
Yeah.
And especially, like, as you said, it's better than Smallville ever was. And this,
so much
this...
more was accomplished in one episode of Arrow than in seasons of Smallville. Like, I cannot deny that.
It's true.
So that's,
and also, like, we were also saying, like, this also is, like, way better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
Nothing on TV was like what Arrow was in its first couple seasons, especially in 1.
Yeah.
And likely in 2, but we'll get there when we start our season 2 coverage.
I don't know how season 2 is going to be better than season 1. Like, I remember knowing, like, oh man, season 2 is even better. I remember thinking that. But having rewatched this, I'm like, how could it be better? This is so good.
You're about to find out.
Yep.
You're about to find out.
and here's the sad part. Like, the inevitable fall is going to be so hard.
The farther you climb, the harder
because
you fall. It's like going to be like being kicked off atop a cliff by Rachel Gould. It's going to feel that way.
That's where it starts, everybody.
Oh,
exactly where it starts.
And unfortunately, you know, some places and some shows, like, you know, are able to pull up because Arrow eventually pulled up.
Yeah.
But
yes, to Arrow's credit,
it pulled up.
Yeah.
But like Flash is not recovered.
Mm-mm.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed this recap. I know it's a little kind of a different format for all of us, but I think we kind of settled in. I think we kind of figured out the way to the way to talk about it. So
I had a blast. No, just wait till we're like midway through like season 6, and we're like, oh well, you know, I mean, like, then that's when we're
oh man.
Well, for you guys, I mean, a lot of these episodes I haven't seen, season 6. I've barely seen 6 and 7 of Arrow.
Man. You're in for a treat.
Do you like dragons?
I mean, I know you like Imagine Dragons, but what's your stance on Richard?
I like Charlie from Fringe. you know, and rewatching the season, you know, especially season finale, I thought to myself, Roy and Thea, right? They plan it here. I'm like, you know what? At least one of these relationships from the first season stays true. They're so cute together, right? And it's so nice that one of these got the payoff it deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, when Oliver became the Spectre and reset the universe.
Spoilers.
Tommy, this is always one of the small, but we spoil everything here. Tommy ended up with Laurel.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't quite the same.
Yes.
So at least that was kind of corrected. But, oh, man, what a show, what a time. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoy. I know we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a blast.
Talking about this. I think now, like I said, we kind of settled in and kind of perfect, much like Arrow season 1, where like the first few episodes are figuring it out. As we talk through these episodes, we figured out kind of the way to approach them. Not too much, you know, not too much rehashing what you had said, you guys, on your podcast, but saying enough here. And also, I'll say this before we sign off, the voiceovers.
Yeah, I'm about to say we started with voiceovers, then we decided no, not to do that. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. We're on the same page of the Undertaking book, Kev, because I liked the voiceovers. It really felt like a comic book and
That was because he didn't have anybody to talk to.
Yeah.
As soon as Diggle joins,
right.
Like that becomes null and void.
I think it's like, and you don't realize it because you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the Huntress, and there's no flashbacks, and they just continue on with the show. No more voiceover.
And also, the episode is slipping my mind, but the transitions that Arrow became known for wasn't a staple in the beginning. That started in another episode in season 1, and then that literally became the format of the show, the way they did the transitions.
Here's a puddle of water.
Yeah, I give a flashback.
Yeah, I do miss that. I wish, like, if they ever make a Batman show, which they never will, right? Yeah. I wish they would have a narration like that, because he's alone by a lot of the time. You want to hear his thought processes. Like, that was interesting, because obviously I need to build this bunker, right? And I'm like, okay, good, you know. Yeah.
Poor Batman. Dodger's gonna get a show before Batman does. Dodger's gonna get a show.
I would not be surprised. Yeah. I would not be surprised. Yeah.
Ragman will probably get a show before.
There it is. I was waiting for a Ragman mention.
Ragman, yes, I did it.
Oh, man.
I hate Ragman. Well, yes, I did it.
Well, that was a lot of fun, guys. I also love, just wanted to shout out to y'all. You guys are doing a great job covering Arrow. I love the ollies. That was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it.
And so hopefully all you guys over here are listening to them over there.
Yeah, cool. Man, thanks. Appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having us on.
Let's. Where can people find you out there?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And also hosting Always Hold On to Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod. We are on UFPEarth.com. You can find us there.
All right. What about you, Kev?
You can find me on Twitter at ChillUs, CHILL_US. And if you want to shoot an email to the pod, it's alwaysarrow@gmail.com with one R.
Excellent. Excellent. As for me, you know me as Moron Zach on Twitter, MoronZach. I'm also host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. You can also find us on the UFP network on Twitter at UFPEarth. And then for the podcast here, you can find us at Always Smallville with one S on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Always Sold in Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us in Starling City. Until, what do they call, what is Slade's, what is, he has a name for his siege on the city? Does he have a name?
We'll find out in season
Malcolm,
two.
Malcolm Merlyn had a cool name, like Undertaking. Yeah. So. No cool name for Slade?
We'll find out in season two.
All right. Well, until Oliver Queen does not shoot out Deathstroke's eye with a really cool bow and arrow move and just walks up to him, stabs him in the eye like I could have.
Well, hey, he got that move from somebody. He watched somebody else season one.
I get it. But when you see... All right, you want to do this now. You want to do this now. When I see the first episode of Arrow, there was a Deathstroke mask with an arrow through the eye.
That's true.
And we know Deathstroke is missing an eye. I'm like, man, I cannot wait until this epic fight in the flashbacks where Oliver Queen does some badass arrow move and does like a backflip off a tree, lands on a rock, and just shoots Deathstroke in the eye and gets him, which they tease in the Yao Fei fake stroke fight, by the way. All right, but instead,
and in his fight with to be fair, and in his fight with Deadshot, because he hits him in the same place,
teased twice. But instead, we get Slade trapped under a giant beam. He can't move. Yep. Oliver just walks up to him and stabs him in the eye.
Yep.
Which again, I say I could do that. Like if you were there, Lance, and you were like, "I'm gonna kill your sister and your girlfriend and your mom," I'd be like, "All right, Lance, I'm sorry I have to do this, but I'd stab you in the eye myself."
Yeah.
And I didn't need 5 years in hell to do that. That's my point. You know what I'm saying?
No. I get it. I'm just saying when Billy Wintergreen was dead, he went up and just stabbed him in it before they left. So Oliver saw him do that. Watch him. He kind of looked at it and was like, damn, that was harsh.
He saw him stab a personal friend turned enemy in the eye, which is exactly what he did.
It was a very personal gesture. Thing. Yes.
I see there's no winning with you. I know the listeners will be on my side.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying the in-show reason.
I would have much rather seen him do a backflip and shoot an arrow through his eye. Like I'm not saying that was cooler because it was kind of lame, but the reason that he did it.
I'm just saying the reason why he did it is there's an in-universe reason for it.
All right. We'll talk about that on the next Arrow special.
I would have loved for him not to shoot him in the eye and Deathstroke be the enemy, the villain for the next 7 seasons instead of Richard Dragon. I would have much preferred that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good. I got that out of my system, too. That's been bothering me since 2014.
We'll get back into it in season two.
I cannot wait, my friends. But until then, always hold on to Smallville and Arrow. Always Swollen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirscht, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, DJ Doina, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Clunk Kent, Joey Dineberg, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Koso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, and Jasmine Magelli. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there. Welcome to Always Holding to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, the run from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and this is our Arrow special number one, where we talk about each and every episode of Arrow, the Green Arrow show that ran on the CW from 2012
yep.
to 2008.
Leave that in.
That was a complete ad lib.
Oh, that has to be like an end thing at the end of the episode.
That's good. We're going to leave that in at the end.